Good morning and welcome to
Coffee at the Cottage. We are very excited to share with you today. We're going to talk about our story and just how God has been faithful to us individually and together. And we're excited about it. So yeah,
it's very special. I just want to say real quick, our stories, your story, it's very powerful. It can encourage someone, it can inspire someone. Yeah. And so don't be afraid to share your story.
Absolutely.
What God's done in your life, how God's brought you through different things. Hopefully our story will be inspiring, and don't be afraid to share yours too.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Ooh, maybe we should do like this week through the time on Instagram or Facebook or whatever you're watching this through.
Yes.
Maybe share
Share some of your stories.
Share some of your stories.
That's a good
idea.
Make
a little video or just comment like top three things of how God's been faithful to you or something like that.
Share your story.
Yeah.
The theme of the week.
We can make a hashtag.
Share your story. Hashtag share your story. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we will just, we'll start from the beginning, I guess.
Yes.
So
in the year 1990. Ryan Miller was born.
And then 2 years later, Jenny
Miller.
Curtley.
Well, wasn't Miller then.
So anyway, I was raised in church. Ryan was not. I mean, he was raised in a Christian home, but it wasn't like
it wasn't
every
a super deep church-going Christian home, but there were some principles of Christianity there.
Yeah. And so, for me, I was at church every Sunday. I went to a Christian school, and
yeah, there's night and day difference.
Yeah, yeah. I basically, like, I was living a Christian life. You know what I mean? Like, everything was Christian.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything else, is what I'm trying to say. And in second grade, I went to a production, and in the play, it made me realize that Christianity, salvation, is more than just you're going to church and being a good kid. Like, I understood that I needed a savior, and that
really
was the only thing that was going to allow me to be with God. And so in second grade, young age, I was like, yes, I'll be down at the altar call. Pray for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's when I got saved. And then in middle school is when like the more happened, when I realized that, okay, it's not even just about me and Jesus relationship. It's about telling people about him. It's about God using me. It's about God filling me and giving me power to do great things. So
that's good.
I feel like that was kind of an explosion part of my life in middle school, where like really getting into like living the Christian life. So that was my experience of salvation and school years. And Ryan,
well, I was just going to ask you, do you feel like it was easier for you to follow Jesus growing up in a Christian home and being in church every single week and having Christian friends at church?
Was it easier than not? I would say yes and no. So I came to a place several times in my young childhood where I had to decide for myself, like, I apologize. I'm realizing I'm saying like a lot.
It's okay.
Whatever. Okay. So
this is really good. This will encourage people.
Yeah. I had to decide for myself.
So like you were other people's faith and their walk and their journey was constantly in front of you, but you kind of had to make a decision one day like, hey, I'm not just going to imitate the faith of others around me. I'm going to make my faith my own, discover Jesus for myself and what he means to me so that I can live out my walk.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that personal relationship part of Christianity, that was a defining thing for me. Like I need to know that I have a personal relationship with him.
Some of my friends that, they have a kind of a similar story to yours. Some of my friends that did grow up in a Christian home, some of their struggles are a little bit different maybe than someone who didn't grow up in a Christian home because they're exposed to the culture of Christianity all around them.
Yeah.
It's easy to just fit into the behavior of the culture around you in that setting. Mm-hmm. And you would just look like a Christian, but inside you still don't feel God with you. And you're like, well, I have to keep up this behavior in front of everyone of living like a Christian, but yet you still feel empty and you know something's wrong.
So
it's like pressure almost. Yeah. And it's hard to take a step back and say, okay, I'm going to figure out my faith for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to live that out from a place of conviction inside of me instead of trying to imitate what's going on around me. That's a unique struggle to kids that grew up in a Christian home.
Right. So that's really exactly what you were just explaining was where I was at in second grade. I noticed, wow, I'm a Christian because my parents are Christians and I go to church and I go to a Christian school. Yeah. Like, but I realized that it's more than that. It is a relationship with Jesus. It is a real thing, you know?
So with me,
it was
a little bit different. So I had, like I said, I did not grow up in a Christian home per se, or a really religious home. I didn't go to church all that much. Excuse me. There were some Christian principles and some belief in Jesus in a general sense. Mm-hmm. But I would live my life thinking I'm a Christian, saying I'm a Christian, but I never read my Bible or went to church. And Christian people that did do that, probably like you, I thought, oh, those people are weird. They're too religious. They're too into this
typical
whole thing. And so what happened with me, I was 18. I was in high school as a senior. I ran into a group of guys that were cool. And so I wanted to be around them because they were cool and they cared about me. Mm-hmm. They took an interest in my life. Mm-hmm. And that was something different than I had experienced at other churches or other Christian circles. These people, not only were they cool, so I wanted to actually hang out with them, but they cared about me and I felt it. They were authentic. They were real. And so I started hanging out with them, going to small group, going to church, and I began to feel God tugging at my heart, pulling on me to give him my life. And there came a point after several months of hanging out with these guys and seeing Jesus in them that I decided to give Jesus my heart, surrender to him, repent of my sins, just give him my life and begin to live for him now. Yeah. And then hanging out with those guys from there forward, they were able to help answer questions and help me begin to form my new faith.
You know, identity, right?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
So that is where our friendship kind of started.
Yes.
Those group of guys went to my church and we all were in youth group together.
Yes.
And so there comes along Ryan Miller. Forever and always in our lives. Man. Yeah. So
I had long hair. I listened to rap music and I wore clothes that were too baggy and very unfashionable.
Right, right.
She's helped me out a lot since then.
And so anyway, we were in the youth group together. Our youth group had this awesome club where we went into the high school and we had after school groups. And so basically Ryan and I got to experience what ministry looked like together, not just us, but in a group of people. And so we weren't just like, we see each other once in a while on the weekends or something, but we really got to see how each other operate within ministry and within talking to people about hard stuff and, you know, just really in the thick of it. So
you really form a friendship seeing each other every single week and then being in ministry with each other,
right,
going through those tough seasons together.
So I want to say this. One thing that I would say to any young people, or actually really just any people, the friends that you choose to have influence in your life really can affect the course of your life. I can just think of moments where I chose to have certain people, not just in my life, but for influence in my life. And I think if I would have allowed certain people to have more influence, I might not be on the same track because they could have influenced me poorly, you know? So
you chose who you let into your inner circle of influence, and you chose who to maybe not so much let in.
Put some boundaries up. And I will tell you, there were some moments, I can think particularly of some friends where I like put jail bars up almost, like not pretty boundaries. And it came across very
It came across rude.
Yeah, not only rude, but like, no, I don't want you in my life. And and so I'm not saying that, but you can have some nice, pretty picket fences of like, hey, I'm sorry, this is, I can't allow that kind of influence in my life. I want to go this direction in my life. If you want to go there with me, that's great. We'll hold hands and we'll get there, but I can't follow you in that direction. So,
'cause I'm going this direction.
Right.
I think that's really important. It's called boundaries. Right. It's a healthy thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wrong for you to avoid spending a huge amount of quality time with people that may necessarily not have your same values that would influence you in a way from where you're trying to go in life. I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
We can be friends with people and we can hang out with people and spend time with people of all kinds of different walks of life and beliefs. But it's wise to spend your time with primarily and allow people to influence you primarily who share your values and share the same direction and purpose in life so that they can help you go there. Because if someone's going the complete opposite direction and they capture a lot of your attention and a lot of your time and a lot of your heart and focus, they will pull you in that direction. Now, that may be good, that may be bad, but you basically, you have to decide the company that you're primarily going to keep around you and that you're going to allow into your life to influence you. And that's very important.
Yeah. So I had said young people, but I would say young Christians, if you're just deciding to live for Christ and changing your life, I mean, your whole life is changing. And so your friend group might be one of those things in your life that needs to have some adjustments or some boundaries. Yeah. And that's a challenge, but it's totally worth it. Like when you got saved, you were in high school, end of high school.
Yeah.
So your friend group had to change. So I didn't have to struggle with that so much since I,
you were already in,
I was pretty much community. In a Christian friendship line forever.
So for me, there was an adjustment.
Yeah.
over time, it happened over time. It was a process, but slowly over time I realized, hey, this music I'm listening to isn't exactly softening my heart towards God and towards other people. It seems to be negative and hardening my heart towards God and towards other people. So maybe I shouldn't listen to it as much. And I made those decisions with what you watch, with what you listen to, with the friends you hang out with, like I was saying. And I understand some people may have went to some churches or to some Christian groups that have been very controlling and legalistic and try to tell you, you know, don't listen to this kind of music, don't do that. So we don't want to do that. You have to make that decision.
Right, right.
You have to get with God and search your heart and ask God, what's helping me in my relationship with you and staying close to you? And you have to figure that out. And you can get some guidance and some wisdom from friends, but only at the end of the day, after you gather that counsel and read your Bible and pray and stuff, you have to make that decision for yourself between you and God.
It's always worth it.
It's very wise. The Bible says to guard your heart because everything that you do in life flows from it. All the decisions you make flows from the condition of your heart. And the condition of your heart is made up of what you allow into your heart. So it's very important to guard.
So speaking of your heart, so back to our story. We're out of high school.
We're preaching a little bit. Let's reel it back.
Don't spill your coffee, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
He's already spilled it a couple times.
My pant leg, you can't see it. It's covered in coffee.
Anyway, so each of us, we were definitely not interested in each other.
Yes. We were just friends.
You don't even need to do
there
this.
There was nothing here. For the longest time. We've been friends for like 10 years. Going to church together. We went to high school together. So there's been a 10-year connection
here. Yeah. So obviously into our, 20, early 20s, we, each of us desired to be married, to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and desired to be married. Like that was something on both of our minds.
Like
as
any
individuals,
good Christian should.
As any young person. Yeah. And so, you know, each of us had our own little coffee dates and whatever. And as friends, we would talk like, hey, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of this girl? You know, like, eh, sure, that's fine. Whatever. You know, we just kind of helped each other out. We were good friends. And but then this is my favorite part about our story. Ryan finally decided in his brain that maybe it was the Lord speaking to him. I don't know. But he got it. He understood that he needed to stop just looking at the women's appearance for, like, to decide if that was a good catch for him.
So,
yeah. I'm okay, gonna, you share.
I will be very quick to summarize this chapter of my life.
Yeah.
But this, I think it's very important I tell it.
Yeah.
So.
It's my favorite part.
We go back. You rewind the clock. 2 years. Right now it's 2018, so 2016. I was 26, right? I was at the point, I'm like, okay, I'm still single, God. I'm living for you. I'm doing your will. I'm almost, you know, I'm 26. Like, I'm going to be 30 in a few years. I'm like, God, are you going to bring me a wife? Whatever. And there's friends of ours that have gotten married way younger. Mm-hmm. There's friends of ours that still aren't married yet. I don't know. People have gotten married young. People have gotten married old. There's no, like, secret formula, but I'm like, hey, God, I think I'm ready. Like, bro, I want a wife. So I'm, like, desperately scrolling Facebook, like, people you may know, like, is this girl pretty? Okay, oh, yeah, she's pretty. That's great. Is she a Christian? Oh, yes, she is. Awesome. Let's go on a coffee date. And I did this for a while, and I would go on dates, and I'd be like, I don't know. I don't really like this person. I don't really see myself being with them. So anyway, this whole thing happened. I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about.
It's probably pretty typical.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I was doing this. I got to the point where I was just praying with God. And I'm like, God, I don't want to, like, just strive and struggle and just fret and worry over this.
Yeah.
And so I decided, I took a big leap of faith, a big risk. And I just decided in my heart to lay this down before God. And I basically just said, God, I know that you know I want a wife. I know that you know I want this. I'm going to trust you to bring it to fruition in my life. I'm going to trust you. Mm-hmm. It's scary. It's fearful to just give that up. But in faith, I'm going to plant this seed. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to trust you to bring it to life and to bear fruit. And so I did that.
Yeah.
Quit thinking about it, and a weight was, like, lifted off of me. Like, I wasn't, you know what I mean? I wasn't worried about it. I could breathe easy. And it allowed me to begin to be able to focus on living for God and just being totally focused on Him without distraction.
Yeah.
And what happened was a few months went by. So I was 26. A few months go by. I start reading. I'm involved in ministry. I'm involved in a lot of stuff. And I start reading a Christian dating book. Mm-hmm. I think to myself, it's probably good for me to just get some wisdom. This is good. Had a good heart. Started reading Christian dating book. And as I read these words, my heart began to change from looking for a pretty girl and seeing if she was a Christian and trying to match my life with her to understanding that the importance of what I'm looking for in a wife is not just a pretty face, but deep character and morals and values and someone of just a strong will to live for God. And as I began to read this and think about these things, a thought popped into my head, like, oh my gosh, I know someone who's a pretty girl and who has a really strong conviction and strong walk with Jesus.
Who was that girl?
And it was Jenny. And I had never had any kind of serious romantic feelings or attraction to her. Neither one of us had.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, as this began to kind of go around in my brain a little bit, I began to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I should pursue Jenny because when my heart changed, when I read the books from those Christian authors, my heart began to change. I began to see what I really should be looking for in a woman. So I prayed. Yeah. I said, God, is this a good thing to pursue? She seems to meet what a godly woman should be that I should be pursuing. Yeah. And so I began to pursue her, and I felt God solidify that in my heart and make it even stronger and more confirmed, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And so I began to hang out more intentionally with her. And what did you do?
I shut it down. Wow. It was a straight up no all the time.
I mean, imagine a knife in the heart. But
it really, honestly, it became a joke in our friend group. Like, we'd be you know, hanging out at somebody's house and Ryan would pull up and we'd be like, oh, Ryan's here. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to ask Jenny out to coffee. Like, it was great. So,
well, look at us now.
Look at us now.
Married.
Coffee all the time.
Having coffee in the cottage. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So, anyway, and the reasons I was saying no, not because he wasn't a good guy, but just because all I could see him as was this silly, goofy kid. And since I've known him for so long, and so I couldn't see, like, the really awesome qualities about him because I could only see his this nerdy high school kid. That's, like, who he was.
Which I was.
Yeah. So, anyway, for 2 years, he pursued me. Yes. And so earlier when you said 2016, I think
maybe
that was
incorrectly. Maybe it was a little earlier. Maybe it was
'cause he pursued me for 2 years.
So 15 to like, I don't know. Maybe it was a little earlier.
So anyway.
I don't know.
It all blurs
together. It was a tough time, okay? It was a tough season.
So finally.
She kept saying no.
Yeah.
And what I did. Yeah, I would be like, okay. And I would go in my prayer closet and I would go to God and I would say, is this something you want me to keep doing? Because I keep getting hurt. Mm-hmm. You want me to keep going out there and getting the knife stuck in my heart?
Here? Right, right.
But I felt peace about it. And I felt like I should continue to just do what I'm doing. And the important thing here was I felt a peace about it. And I felt like I should continue to be her friend. Mm-hmm. And even though she was shutting this down, we were friends and she appreciated me and I appreciated her. And so I felt peace about continuing to pursue her gently and to be her friend and to just be good to her.
He was really like the best friend. He would, he was aware of, you know, different things in my life. So he would, he always brought me coffee on Sunday morning.
I did.
And then he would make sure I had
bought you
food
coffee
at different times, different events. And yeah, he took good care of me, like a good friend. Really, like what a husband would do, really.
And you were like, aw, thanks. You're so cute.
What a good friend. Anyway, finally, he broke me down around Christmas time. He wrote me a really nice card. And I was at home watching the Hallmark Channel with my mom. Yeah. Dangerous. Don't do that, ladies. Anyway, so finally, I was like, there were a few things that led up. And then I was like, you know what? I think I like him. I think I might give him a chance. And so I talked to get some counsel in your life, okay? I talked to a few of my girlfriends. I talked to my mom. I talked to my brother because they all knew him. And I was like, okay, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of us together? You know, where do you think that could go? All that sort of thing. And so I made that decision, and then
the day after Christmas, 2016. So maybe it was summer 15. Yeah. So it was like a year and a half later,
anyway,
maybe.
The time frame. Go on.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
The day after Christmas, 2016.
Yeah.
She calls me. Here it is. You ready? She's like, "Hey, want to hang out?" And I'm like, what? So, okay, so it's a yes then to everything I've been asking you the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went and we hung out. Yeah. I think we went to the park or something. We got
some
food.
It was December.
Oh.
I think we went to your house and watched a movie or something.
We watched a movie, yeah. It was great. And so that began now. We basically confirmed that we were interested in each other, and that began a dating relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we both were feeling like we were led of the Lord, let me tell you how well this went. And we still had to work at it. Like, you're still a participating party. God can lead you to a path, but you still have to walk down it and not stumble into the, you know, ditch. Mm-hmm. You still have to walk it. Mm-hmm. So we started dating December 26, 2016. 5 months later, we got engaged. 3 months after that, we got married. Mm-hmm. So started dating December, got engaged in May. Married by August.
Yeah.
We just knew.
Yeah.
We were friends for years. We just knew it.
Our short dating period was like deciding if we were really a good match.
Deciding to for be sure. Married, it was like, okay, let's make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I just want to say this real quick. Mm-hmm. Guys, or anyone, but especially guys, don't do what I did of pursuing someone that is your friend that only thinks of your friend over and over and having them shut you down. Don't do that unless you feel like you're supposed to from God. The only reason why I kept putting myself out there to get hurt was because I felt God leading me, and we were friends, and I trusted my friend mm-hmm. to still be there for me, and mm-hmm. I for her, and God led us through that. I would not have continued to do it. I would have moved on if I didn't feel the Lord continuing to lead me in that direction.
Like, I felt like he honored my nose. Yeah, and he wasn't a jerk or too pushy or anything like that. Like, that's important.
I honored yeah. your no because mm-hmm. I was your friend.
Yeah.
And so, like, be respectful of yeah. the no.
Right.
And be honoring. Mm-hmm. Respect it.
Yeah. 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 He just really continued to be a really good friend.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I would give that advice too. Be a friend.
Anyway, I can't think of it. Stephanie Gritzerald. I don't know how to say her last name. Fitzgerald. Gretzinger. Stephanie Gretzinger. She has a song. It came out about the time that we yeah. thought about dating. And one of the lines in it is something like, wherever.
Is it Voyage?
Yes. Okay. Like, wherever we end up, God will meet us there. Because I really was at a place where I was like, so not only was I asking for the advice of my friends, like, what do you think about him? You know, like, do you think that we would be good together or whatever? I was thinking, like, is this God's plan? Like, is this the one? And it was really kind of...
You wanted some clear direction.
I was kind of stressed out about it because I've been over dating. I had been over dating forever. Like, I never even liked the idea. I still don't. But, so I didn't want to just, like...
You're married now.
No, I just mean, like, for others. Silly. I hate dating. I hate the concept of dating, but...
The idea of dating, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, I just wanted some clarity from God. Not like, this is the man you're to marry, but, like, I needed an okay that wherever I ended up, that he was going to meet me there. So this, a line in one of her songs, it says that. It's like, wherever this boat ends up, I know that, you know, God is going to anchor me. He's going to take care of me.
That's good.
I'm going to be okay. And that's, I think that's
because you're on
so
God's boat.
So true. Like, yeah. Anything, job, moving somewhere, schools you go to. I know, like, yeah. a lot of people have to decide about college and different things. Like, when we are chasing after God,
He'll lead us in the
right
direction.
He will lead us. And if we, you know, choose to go, if we are unsure and we make the wrong decision accidentally or whatever, it's going to be okay. Like, God is faithful. Yeah. And that's
how... You can always work it out.
Yeah. That's how I feel just over and over and over again in my life, that God has been faithful wherever I go, whatever I do, in deciding to go to college and where to go to college and what classes to take and how to set things up in my life with yeah. job and money and boyfriend and cars and whatever, you know, like, I haven't always made the perfect, wisest decision, but over and over again, God is like, you know what? That's okay that didn't end up perfect. We're going to move on, and I'm still going to be with you in that. So, yeah. So that's, again, like, where I had to come to of, okay, I'm going to take this jump into this relationship and yeah. just trust that God will lead me. And then if this isn't of him or if this isn't good, like, I will have enough wisdom to know, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway...
I think it took us, like, a month to fall in love. So, we went on, like, 4 dates. December
20th. Fell in love with him before we started dating.
Oh, because I was pursuing her and being a good friend. See?
Yeah.
So, we started dating December 26th.
You've already said this.
Well, I'm just...
He tends to do
I'm
this.
Getting, I'm getting to the point himself. Here. We went on, like, 4 dates, and then she went on a trip for school
yeah.
to the Philippines for, like, a whole month.
Ooh, and I just haven't had my Philippines
wedding. Yeah, perfect. Look at that. It's part of our story. During this time in the Philippines, when we were apart, mm-hmm. after we had been spending a lot of time together, that's when the love really started to grow.
That's when I guess you fell in love with me?
From my
Aww.
End, yeah.
I never knew that.
And so we were talking, and the first time we really said, I love you, was over Facebook Messenger
yeah.
when you were gone for a whole month.
We would do, like, I heart you. So it wasn't
saying I love
you. We didn't
technically say
love. Because that couldn't happen over a text message. Yeah.
But, like, 1 month,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We just, okay,
yeah.
we're head over heels.
So anyway, so we got married. And
now we've been married for a year. We yeah. just celebrated our 1-year anniversary yeah. a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. A month ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly. Yeah. And so yeah. here we are.
Yeah. So overall, in my 27, 26, how old am I?
Oh my gosh. You're born 92. You're 26.
Okay. my 26 years of life. God has been faithful, and in so many different ways. I mean, it would take, okay, there, this is a scripture, Apostle Paul. He says that if you were to take all the things that God has done, all the promises, all the faithful things that God has done, there's not enough libraries in the world to hold the books that it would take to do that. And so that's how I feel that about my life.
That was, so in the Gospel of John, no, it's okay.
Okay.
In the Gospel of John.
Okay.
At the end of the Gospel of John, I love you so much. This is...
Okay, who's that? I love you. So, John says it.
We compliment each other. It's really great. At the end of the book of John, he says, writing about Jesus, he says all the things that Jesus did, blah, 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 the apostles went out and blah, blah, blah. So, in summarizing Jesus' life and ministry, it says he did many other things. Mm-hmm. And if we were to document all the things that Jesus did his whole life, there would not be enough books in the world to cover that.
Same concept.
And that can be, and I just to tie the knot on this package, that can be the same for your life.
Right.
You could have so many testimonies and so many things you went through, like you wouldn't have enough pages in a book to be able to write all that down.
So whether you were raised in church, not raised in church, raised in a completely drug addicted, abusive home, whether you were raised by the Pope himself, I mean, whatever kind of background you have, it's never too much or too little for God to give you a story and a powerful one. Yes. I know one of the things, kind of going back a little bit, but one of the things I struggled with was being the Christian kid is that I never did drugs. I never smoked a cigarette. I've never had alcohol, like all that kind of stuff. And at, let's see, in high school, I remember thinking like, oh, well, I don't even have a testimony. I don't even have something to share because God didn't deliver me from any real bad thing. But I finally got the revelation that, yes, actually, God delivered me from all of those things so that I didn't have to experience them.
Mm.
And he just had, I don't know, more grace for me, or I don't know how to put it in the best way. But I am so thankful for my testimony and for where God has brought me in my life. And let me tell you, even though I didn't struggle with drugs, I struggled with a lot of other things. Okay. Pride, selfish ambition,
me too.
Lying, me too. Like,
and I didn't necessarily have like a horrible life in terms of like drugs or this or that or the other. But when I see the hurt and the pain in the world, I am very thankful. Like, God, thank you for protecting me from some of those things.
Right.
And that makes me, when I see some of the things that people go through that I have been so blessed and grateful to not have to go through, it makes me want to, you know, be careful to stay close to God all the more.
Yeah.
I think it makes me really appreciate the mercy on my life.
So, so we just really want to encourage you that God loves you.
Wherever you're at, whatever the situation is, God can come in and make it better.
He's powerful, and there's nothing too big or too small for him to handle or whatever. All it takes is us to surrender to him. And then, and then go confidently with what God has done for you and share that. You know, you never know what can encourage somebody or what somebody else is feeling so lonely in. And then you sharing your struggle or whatever can really encourage them and give them hope.
Yeah. Your victory that God brought you through can be the encouragement that someone else needs to hear to bring them through what they're facing.
Right. Right.
So I think that's awesome. It's really important. So there's our story. We really, really hope you guys are encouraged by that.
Yeah.
And we love you. Yeah. If you want, like it, share it, comment.
Share your story. I'm serious.
Share your story. This would be so fun. You could share ours, but share yours too.
Absolutely. Either comment on like where you're watching this video or like post a new post. Whatever. I don't know anything about anything technology. So
you can post a post and tag us in it, or you can whatever
you want to do.
Put the hashtag.
Share your story.
We're gonna say this. Hashtag share your story. Make a new post, tag us in it. Okay, tag us in it and put hashtag share your story. And you could do a video, you could do a picture, you could write something, whatever you want to do. Do it on Facebook or Instagram, either one. Hashtag share your story and tag us in the description.
We'll put it on there.
Okay?
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Oh, wait, let's do a little, you know.
Oh, okay.
Bing. Bye, guys.
We'll see you later.